moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayamvunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast. Hey, there's John Sabo with the Far East Travels Podcast coming to you from a different spot. I'm in Nha Trang, Vietnam. I have traveled down. A lot of things have happened since my last episode, and I'm going to share it with you in this episode, as well as an update on the situation here in Vietnam and the Phuket sandbox that's happening in Thailand. Over 2,000 visitors now since they opened up in July 1st. Of course, I always share this. There's a couple of different ways or a few different ways that you can support the Far East Travels podcast and my YouTube channel, all the work that goes into those things. First off, for the podcast, you can write a review in the iTunes Store or Apple Podcasts, and that always helps others discover the Far East Travels podcast. And I want to shout out to Jenny Reed, who recently gave a really nice positive review. Jenny's from the U.S., and she said, love this, slightly jealous of his life. Please don't be, if you could only see the behind the scenes. But try not to hate too much. I think maybe a little less serious would be refreshing, but not imperative. Still one of the best. Thanks. And I will keep that in mind. You know, it's so hard to ignore what's going on right now, especially here. With you know, the pandemic conditions, and I'm going to go over some of that stuff in this episode. You know, I don't want to just talk about that. I want to talk about the future and travel and things like that. So I will definitely try to keep things light, and I really appreciate that feedback from you as well. So thank you so much, and I'll leave a link in the show notes if you want to share a positive review. That would be wonderful in the iTunes Store, Apple Podcasts. So just follow that link. Make sure you're signed into your account. Rate the podcast out of 5 stars and then write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. You can also support the podcast financially, either by a monthly pledge, and I'll share my Patreon account, or just one-off donations, and I will share the PayPal account for that. Thanks so much. Okay, so I'm in Nha Trang, Vietnam. I've traveled about 600 kilometers south of Da Nang. And basically the reason why I'm here, one of the main reasons why I'm here, is because the visa rules have become much more strict of late in Vietnam. I need to be in the zone where I first entered Vietnam. So I entered Vietnam in the south, so I need to be in the south to extend my visa currently. But I do hope to be back to Da Nang, but it might be a little while now with these latest lockdown measures that have taken place. Just a few days ago, I thought it wouldn't be a problem, but now I might be here a little bit longer. So I will take some time to get to know Nha Trang again and share all of that with you. It's a really interesting place. The first time I visited here was, I guess, about 5 years ago. I was in Nha Trang just for a few days. It's a huge beach resort. At that time, it was the most popular beach resort for Vietnamese in Vietnam. And it's laid out much different, much more differently than Da Nang is. Da Nang kind of has two areas. It has the beach area with the resorts and kind of the beach community, the beach vibe. And then there's the Han River that separates the beach side with the commercial center. And, you know, there's several bridges that you can cross to get over to the commercial center, one of which, of course, is the Dragon Bridge that I feature a lot in my YouTube videos. And I do have another YouTube video coming out soon. If you do, check out my YouTube channel as well. I'm working on that right now. And it will be from Da Nang. It's my last video from Da Nang in that series. And then I'll do some stuff from here. And then when I go back to Da Nang, I'll just continue that. So the two different sections. So you distinctively have a beach area and then distinctively a commercial center. But here in the Trong, it's kind of all one, which makes it kind of convenient for shopping and different things like that. If you're at the beach, you can just cross the street, and there's a few different shopping malls in the area from the North Beach, I would say. And that makes it very convenient to, you know, pick up some food, groceries, maybe do a little shopping, get a bathing suit. It's actually a lot easier to do stuff like that here than in Da Nang. The other thing I'll mention as well is I think the beach is a little bit safer for swimming in Nha Trang, at least the North Beach, than Da Nang. So that's the one thing I've noticed or have noticed as well. Those are kind of the main differences. Da Nang is a much bigger city. I mean, it's over 1 million population, and I think currently Nha Trang maybe around 600,000 or so. Nha Trang, I think, it has more kind of things closer and more developed as far as a resort town. So that's kind of the differences between the two. And so right now, I came down to Nha Trang from Da Nang, and right away things were much more relaxed. There weren't as many lockdown restrictions in place. In fact, I saw the beach roped off and taped off, but I saw people just crossing the ropes and the tape and going down to the beach, and the police that were around didn't seem to mind or care. So I can only assume that they just left those measures up because it was maybe stricter before, and then they loosened up the lockdown rules and then let people go on the beach. But now it's very strict again, and nobody's allowed on the beach. In fact, during this latest lockdown, which started today, July 9th, we're not even supposed to be outside unless we're just going for something like food or medicine or kind of an emergency in some case. I don't know how strict they are at enforcing that, but apparently in Ho Chi Minh City, they're going to be very strict in enforcing that. So I'll go over what's happening in Ho Chi Minh City as well. So that's the situation here. It's called a Directive 16 lockdown measure. So that includes, as I said, staying at home and going out only for necessities, no more than two people gathering in public outside an office, hospital or schools, 2 meter social distancing, and all non-essential businesses are closed. So the restaurants are still open and Grab delivery is available. There's no dining in now or sitting in a cafe. And even just up till a couple of days ago, you could go out for coffee and sit outside or sit inside a local cafe or even a Starbucks if you wanted to. So that's the situation here in Nha Trang. And as I said before, the beach is fully closed. So Ho Chi Minh City is under the strongest, most rigid lockdown of the whole pandemic. Daily cases have been in the hundreds. You know, some days I've seen up to 700, 800, maybe even 900 cases in one day. So they have closed, of course, all non-essential businesses. Restaurants are closed. And you are only allowed to go out to get food and medicine. And apparently they're going to be very strict on watching that. I had a friend that shared with me a video last night of still a lot of activity outside. But if the authorities see that, they will definitely clean that up. I've seen this happen in the past when people weren't abiding by restrictions during lockdowns. If they see that, they'll come down pretty hard pretty quickly. And there's no Grab transportation or delivery available. So I suppose that, you know, even if the restaurants could be open, it's very difficult for them to get food out. And there's, as I said, there's going to be fines for people outside without a legitimate reason. If you want to leave or enter Ho Chi Minh City, you have to have a negative PCR test. So that's the first time I've ever seen that required to travel in country. But that's the case. And then another friend of mine who lives in District 7 noticed outside one of the hospitals yesterday a huge lineup. And, you know, most likely those were people that were probably wanting to go somewhere else and needed to get this test before they could go anywhere. And they have apparently strict entry, exit areas in and out of the city of Ho Chi Minh for that. So this is the strongest lockdown to date. And it starts, I believe, 15 days for this one. And then I suppose at that time they'll determine if they need to extend it or not. But I've never seen a lockdown as strong as this one. So that's the situation here and in Ho Chi Minh City. Now let's go back to Nha Trang for a sec. They call this place the, at least some people do, the Riviera of the South China Sea. And you will notice right away that it's a very developed resort destination. There's lots of hotels, luxury hotels, budget hotels. You know, there's also some traditional sites that are very worthy, very interesting. Actually, I walked past the Cham Towers the other day, but they were closed. And the Cham Towers are kind of reminiscent of Angkor temples or towers, and they are of the Champa people of this region. And like I said, they look very much like, remind you right away if you've been to Angkor Wat or the Angkor ruins of those types of temples, and they are dedicated to Hindu deities. And there's also some beautiful Buddhist temples here, like the Longsen Pagoda, which the last time I was here, I found absolutely striking. And they have this huge white Buddha sitting on top of a lotus blossom there, which makes for some great photos. They also have a National Oceanographic Museum of Vietnam here. There's some beautiful salt fields about 37 kilometers north of here. That have appeared in all kinds of photos. It's very easy to get to from here. But I'm not sure, again, during these lockdowns, if even any of this type of, sightseeing is even possible. The other big thing that, of course, Vietnamese love is this Vinpearl Amusement Park, which is located on Bamboo Island, which you can get to by cable car. And for an adult, I think admission is $24, which includes the ride there and back. But, you know, a lot of these places are closed right now and probably will be for a while. But that's Nha Trang. And as I said, a much different feel than Da Nang. But they have a very nice beach here. And as I said, the swimming is quite good at this beach. So that's the situation overall in Vietnam right now. As far as, trying to plan for travel here, it probably doesn't look like that will happen, anytime this year. Although they are talking about doing these similar to the Phuket sandbox, doing Phu Quoc Island in the south and having people come directly, flying directly in there and staying there in resorts. I've also heard Halong Bay being thrown out as well as a possible place that could open up first. And these would be very sort of organized, even if they do open up before the rest of the country. So you would be very restricted as to where you could go, and it might be only resort stays as well. But that's what we're talking about. But if we're talking about overall just open to the world again, it's probably looking like sometime next year, it seems, because they've done the numbers as far as procuring vaccines. And at this point, at least today's report that I saw was expecting or forecasting about 100 million jabs that they would have by the end of the year. But that's not enough to get the population to 70% herd immunity, which is their goal. They won't reach that until March of 2022. By the end of this year, they hope to have 50% of the population vaccinated that are over the age of 18. So whether they're willing to open up the country at that point or not, you know, who knows? But the original goal of herd immunity now, unless things change and they're able to get more vaccines in from what they forecasted, probably won't happen until spring of next year, March 2022. So let's go over to Thailand now, and they started their what they call the Phuket Sandbox July 1st, and I've been watching this very closely. I've been seeing the reports on Channel News Asia, which have been very good, and you know, I've been seeing some Europeans coming back that are regular visitors to Thailand that are very excited to be back, and they've had over 2,000 visitors so far. So that's kind of more, I think, than maybe they originally thought. That's still, you know, far behind the numbers that they usually get, way behind the numbers that they usually get for visitors. But 2,000 to start, I suppose, isn't bad. And that's how many people have arrived on the island now. They did get this week their first COVID case, and it was a gentleman from the UAE who, upon arrival, tested positive. So he was immediately taken to a hospital, and then the group that he was with now have to be quarantined for 14 days, whereas before they wouldn't have to worry about that, at least on Phuket. So that's the situation there. It's probably, you know, not surprising that, you know, at some point somebody was going to test positive, even with vaccinations or being fully vaccinated. Apparently Thais are using it as a way to re-enter the country as well without having to quarantine. So if they flew into Bangkok, even if they're vaccinated, they still have to quarantine for 14 days. But if they fly into Phuket, they can just stay at a you know, a nice hotel. They don't have to be in a quarantine situation, and they can spend their time there and do all the tests, and then they could go back to their hometown, wherever that may be, in Thailand after those 14 days. And that's the situation there. Now, apparently, the government is still expecting to reopen Thailand to the world by the middle of October. And this is amidst, you know, more coronavirus cases. In fact, Thailand's Coronavirus Task Force, the Center for COVID-19 Situation Administration, has warned that the highly transmissible Delta variant could cause infections to soar to 10,000 daily by next week. But the government is still going ahead or still planning to reopen by the middle of October. So we'll see how that goes. And then the other place that I've been talking about for a while now that was proposing or planning an opening for July 1st was the Indonesian island of Bali, which is, you know, their jewel, their crown jewel, basically, of tourism. And, of course, the place is driven and thrives on tourism. But they have postponed that now, it seems, for international travelers until August. So, and then they've kind of, I believe, it seems that they've revealed a little bit more about this green scheme that they have in mind, which would include just a select few countries at first that would be allowed to enter Bali again on the premise that those people would be fully vaccinated. So that would include China, the UAE, the Netherlands, and Singapore. So that's the update on Bali. It's not looking like until August. So if you're one of those Australians that were hoping to still maybe spend sort of your cooler months in Bali, it doesn't look like that might be happening. And then even on the other side, I don't even know if you can, if you're from Australia or New Zealand, that you would have problems even coming back. So that might be even off the table no matter what. And then the word just came out, I believe, yesterday. Today is July 9th, as I'm recording this podcast, that Japan has now canceled all spectators for the Olympic events. Before this latest announcement, there were going to be local spectators that would be allowed to see these events live in Tokyo. And they were hoping to have 50% capacity at some of these events. But with the growing cases and emergency situation in Tokyo, they have decided to cancel all spectators at all the Olympic events. As always, thanks so much for listening to the Far East Travels podcast. And as I said, I definitely want to try to keep things lighter and bring some more positive messages to you in the future as far as the episodes go of the Far East Travels podcast. But it's really hard for me to ignore what's going on right now, especially, you know, what I'm experiencing here in Vietnam and Southeast Asia. So thank you so much for thinking of that when you're listening to these episodes. If you want to follow me, all kinds of different ways to do that or keep in touch. Of course, the YouTube channel, John Sabo on YouTube. And I will have a new video up very soon. As well as Facebook, Far East Travels podcast page on Facebook, the Far East Travels page, or John Sabo Official. And then on Instagram, trying to post daily, trying to keep my storylines up, my stories up daily. But in the next little while, you might just see pictures of me on my balcony or taking pictures of buildings around me as I'm in lockdown here on the Trong. But John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram as well. So thanks again. I know you are traveling. If you're not traveling to Southeast Asia, maybe you have future plans to travel somewhere else. No matter what or where or when, I do wish you safe travels in the future. Namaste, tashi dalei, and peace.